BlogTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
What's going on here?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
We're all going to have so much fucking fun when they need plastic surgery to remove our goddamn smiles.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
Now you're talking.
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Now you listen to me, fat ass. You do what I say and there won't be any problem, okay?
The Omega.
I'm not your ordinary everyday fool. Okay?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
I think you're all fucked in the head.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
Great. Well, better make some space for him in the back.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God damn it anyway.
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
You'll be whistling Symphony Nuda out of your asshole.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho. And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
Don't you tell me what to do. I'll do what I want.
It's only fitting that we come into a show with something called the Devil's Piano accompanying us. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am not the Omega, the end-all, be-all of this show. He's on a vacation, thus the vacation open. I'm Sir Rockin, joined as always by Keishi Matsunaga.
Hello. That was a show.
That was a horror show at Extreme Rules. And the man leading the way, the one and only, Tim Stein.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the horror show. That was Extreme Rules.
Oh, boy, was it.
Oh, God. You know, the thing had some ups and it had some downs and it had some WTFs and it had some, that's it. I'm really turned off of this shit. All of that in one night and we're going to be talking about it because that's what we do every Sunday night live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Not Russell. I don't know who Russell is. It's Russell, as in wrestling. Wrestle Talk Radio. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Glad that you could be here. Those of you who are tuned in live, we're in the chat room. If you want to get interactive, we do respond. Those of us who are in the chat, like, you know, me and Rock. Keishi, I don't think has been able to find it yet.
Oh no, I'm in there. I don't say anything.
Okay.
I just like to read the comments.
Okay. So there's a term for you.
Casual observer?
No.
Well, that's what I'm going to go with.
And well, we call people like you lurkers. You're a lurker.
Okay. Well, just for today, because it's you, I'll be more interactive.
Oh my God. Then type in, hi, I'm Keishi.
Just give me a sec. I have to open it.
Yeah, see, I knew you weren't in there.
Not yet. I will be. Just you wait.
Also, I need to make a correction from what Tim said at the beginning. He said every, and that's a lie. Most. Most.
Most? Most what?
Most Sundays. Not every. It's not every.
Well, not every. Well, okay. Most every Sunday that we're on.
Don't want people to be confused.
All right. Yeah, and for those of you listening to the archived podcasted version of the live webcast, for whatever reason that you could not join us live, we still appreciate the living hell out of you. Thank you very much for downloading the podcast, tuning into the podcast, streaming the podcast, however you listen. Don't forget we're on Spotify. What else are we on?
Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, just search for Wild Talk Radio Network. You can find all the podcasts, including the Raw Post Show, The Rack, CB Radio, and of course, Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
But
ooh yeah. Dig it.
For those unaware, there's a kickoff show that starts at 6 p.m. Eastern for Mountain that featured Kevin Owens and Buddy Murphy.
That was a fun match. That was a good match. That was a hot match.
It was a hot match. So I was watching that match on my phone with the closed captioning on and watching the, you know, the closed captioning try to keep up with the action. A little weird.
It's hard to read and watch at the same time.
It is. It was, but I had to do it to watch the pre-show. It's a solid match. I mean, it's Kevin Owens and Murphy. What else can you say?
These two put on one hell of a show tonight. And, when I was saying it was hot, I'm not kidding. That was a really top quality, match for the kickoff.
The best in that game was they announced it like around 5 o'clock and Kevin Owens tweeted, "Oh, I best get down there. Yeah, best get down there. I mean.
Oh,
yeah.
I best get down there.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, right. You're backstage. Shut up, Kevin. But still, that was a good one.
So yeah, Kevin Owens with the victory. No shock.
Yay.
No real shock on that one.
No, but, some people are saying that the stunner looked a little weak.
To those people who are saying the stunner looked weak, go try it yourself.
That's all I can tell you. It's not that easy. And, I got proof. Just ask Casey.
Well, it's not easy to do it properly anyway. To get like real, real deep in there for that stunner. It's tough.
Hey, by the way, Casey, were you at the school today?
No, not today. I was being dad sponsible.
You were being what?
Dad sponsible.
Wow, dad sponsible. That's weird.
Yeah. I have fatherly responsibilities from time to time, and today was one of those dad sponsible days.
Well, I do that on the regular, even though my kid's now 20 years old. He still comes first, and there are times where I do wind up having to miss a webcast because of him. So, and no offense to you guys, but yeah, he comes first.
100% in agreeance, pal.
There you go. Yeah. Rock doesn't know what we're talking about because he's not a dad, but he knows what we're talking about because he's an uncle.
Yes, and that's where I was. So I didn't see the first match. Let's talk about it, Tim. What happened?
The first match on the main show?
Yeah.
It was a wrestling match.
With props.
Okay, so it was the New Day defending versus Cesaro and Shinsuke. And I'll tell you right now, it was a tables match. The one thing I absolutely hate, Casey, talk to me about this when you hear it. Somebody in the ring is about to do a table spot, but the whole spot is not doing the spot and having it interrupted. The table gets flipped upside down, so the opened up table legs are sticking straight up in the air in like right beside the wrestlers.
Yeah, that definitely poses an impending threat throughout the match of possible very blunt impaling of bodies.
So, yeah, I remember one pay-per-view, Randy Orton almost impaled himself on something sticking upside down. Something had broken off and it was like, basically looking just like a sharpened spear.
Except blunt, because they're not sharp, they're little squares.
No. These things, what he almost impaled himself on had, it was broken. It was a,
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it was a kendo stick or it was a piece of wood that had broke. It was a cage match. And the whole thing, he was supposed to, take the bump and then fall face first onto the can, like onto the, to the ground outside the ring. But this thing was sticking up and he went to go and make his move and stopped like literally 3 inches from basically impaling himself on the sharpened stick. And I'm watching this, my eyes bugged out of my head and it don't read lips, you know, it's like Don Cherry used to say on Hockey Night in Canada, don't read lips, kids, because he cursed a blue streak.
Yep. Can't get the table legs to stay up when you want to put the table up properly. Can't get them to go down when you knock the thing over.
This is absolutely the truth. Yeah. But, it was a fantastic, tag team match. A bit of a surprise ending, but, I have absolutely no complaints about, the performance that all four of these men put on in the ring. Of course, it wasn't your standard tag match. All four going at it at the same time because it's a tables match. The major spot in the match was actually the finale. It looked great right up until Kofi apparently banged the back of his head on the ground.
Yeah, it looked a little rough, but
it did.
It's hard to say because his face was very buried under another panel of table.
Yeah, so. just to set it up for everybody in case you missed it. New Day earlier set up one table on top of the other, and the finish. Kofi was going to try. I don't know what he was going to try to Hurricanrana or.
I think that was the idea.
Trying to Hurricanrana Cesaro, I think. But Cesaro caught him, and the difficulty came where Cesaro was trying to lift Kofi up, while Kofi's legs were wrapped around his neck, and Cesaro couldn't pull him up. Shinsuke gets up there and pushes Kofi's back. So they're on the top rope on the corner, and Cesaro basically just leaps down and, like super slams Kofi through two tables. And it looked fantastic right up until, like I say, it looked like Kofi bounced the back of his noggin off the floor. Yeah, of course, unlike the indie shows that we've done, Keishi, they've got padding around the ring. However, how soft is that padding?
I don't know. Softer than concrete floor, harder than a mattress?
Yeah.
So it's still thin enough to do some damage.
That's absolutely correct. So he very likely could have had his bell rung. Now, what happens here is we've got new tag team champions. Cesaro and Shinsuke.
Say what?
You heard me.
No way.
You heard me. And yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by that, but, are we going to call these guys the new Kingpins or what?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure they'll come up with some sort of name that most people won't like. Shinzaro. Shinzaro comes to mind off the top of my head.
Oh my God, no.
Don't give them any horrible ideas. Please don't give them any horrible ideas. They have enough.
I'm sure there'll be a poll of some sort.
Probably.
Pick the new name for the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
Oh, they did that for some team a long time ago. I forget. Was it for Hell? It might have been for Hell No.
Yeah, they did do it for Team Hell No.
Boy, that worked. So maybe a .com poll will work again. I don't know. What's next, Tim?
So that was that match. Now, like I was saying, it was an absolutely great match, and it was a very good opener to a pay-per-view. One thing I maintain and that I'm adamant about is your very first match on any card has to be just as good, if not better, than your main event. And the reason for that, you want to get the crowd going right off the hop. And in my opinion, this tag match went a long ways towards that. However, I think that Nikki versus Bayley might have been more interesting as the opener, as opposed to the second match.
Before we get to that, that's why New Day is probably in about 75% of the openers of pay-per-views.
They're okay. That's a concession.
Yeah. They're really good. Whether it's the pre-show opener or the main show opener, they're always out there and they get the crowd into it. And they've done it a majority of their career. All right, Bayley and Nikki Cross, SmackDown Women's title. Nikki is really good.
Yep.
I love watching Nikki, you know, I want to be careful how I say this. I love Nikki's energy. I mean, that girl must drink an entire pot of coffee before she goes out there. Just the energy that young woman has, maybe a case of Monster energy drink, Keish?
Well, hopefully not on a regular basis because that could cause some serious health effects, but yeah, she definitely finds, crap load of energy somewhere and definitely is like an exploding stick of dynamite when she gets in the ring.
Dude, she is so much fun to watch wrestle.
Yep.
Nothing but energy. And of course, taking on, the women's champion, Bayley.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a good match.
Good match. It was a great match. And yeah. It was exactly what you wanted to have happen in something like this. Nikki playing the baby face and Bayley, playing the heel. Bayley is doing such a good job being the little bitch. Pardon my French, but,
the lack of crowd has actually helped Bayley.
Yeah.
You think?
Cause you can hear her talking all of the garbage.
Yeah.
And yeah, it definitely makes, it helps her dramatically.
Well, I don't think that us hearing the trash talk is helping her. I think that it's Bayley just comes across as one of those performers that does react to the distraction that is currently not there. And yeah. She does seem more comfortable playing to an audience of fellow wrestlers.
And announcers.
Yes.
And
announcers. Oh boy, does she use those announcers.
Kind of reminds me a bit of Randy Myers. Hey Theo, if you're listening, hey, how you doing? But yeah, it's something that I forgot I was talking about. Anyway.
Nikki's really good. Bayley is really good. The energy in this matchup was really good. The thing is, you never really thought Nikki had her, yeah. But I don't think anyone really thought Nikki was going to win in general because that doesn't seem to be where they're going.
Well, there was just the one spot that, you know, stepping outside of what I do and all this other stuff, what we do, what I've done, there was one spot that I could see convincing the casual fan she could win.
Which spot?
I think it was right about the middle of the match. And she just totally dropped Bayley and then dropped right down on her and then put all of her weight on that pin.
Mm.
I mean, there were good false finishes, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't to someone who can see down the line where they're headed.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it, especially with Nikki Cross, as good as she is. She hasn't got many wins lately. She's been on a bit of a losing streak lately. She got the one win to get into this matchup. Beyond that, she's been on the losing side of things, I would say for the last few months. But that takes nothing away from what she's done because you want to talk about Bayley excelling without a crowd. Nikki has excelled without the crowd. You putting her on commentary week after week after week.
Yep.
Gold.
Oh,
gold.
For sure. Absolutely.
Well, it's really improved her verbal skills.
That's for sure. Bayley was able to retain the title on this night. There was a little bit of shenanigans with the
yeah,
the,
it's called she won because of a cheap shot thanks to Sasha's boss ring, which was used as brass knuckles. Mm-hmm. But they were actually gold-plated, electroplated knuckles.
But it got the job done. Bayley retains. Logical.
Logic.
Yep.
Yeah,
how
no, good
sweet,
match,
how
good.
Sweet would it be, though, on SmackDown? They interview Nikki and she's like, look what she did. And then there's just like boss embedded in her like ribs for where she got punched.
As long as they went, cause I could see this I could see them doing that. Okay.
Yeah.
But just as long as they get the, as long as they get the word going in the correct direction because it would be mirrored. So it better not be legible, you know, from left, it readable from left to right.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, no, that would be good to see. So yeah, WWE, do that. Just do it. And then, you know, she can spend an entire month yapping about having proof that Bayley cheated.
The clear shot of the word the knuckle boss on the ground wasn't any other evidence. Anyway.
There you go. Yeah. So that's that match. Next up is the match that I was bitching about and complaining about.
No, we have something to address first before we get
to
the
well,
next
then address it.
So, we learned, apparently, that Apollo Crews showed up at the Performance Center tonight, but couldn't pass his pre-match physical due to injuries he suffered at the hands of Bobby Lashley.
Bulging disc in his back.
MVP and Lashley came to the ring. MVP declared himself the new U.S. champion via forfeit, took the title that he introduced, and him and Lashley left. All right. For those with sensitive ears, plug them for a second. I think this has to do with COVID.
Aha. Uh-huh.
This is an educated guess.
It's a guess.
And more than just speculation.
Whether he has it or not, he may be just staying away. Cause he has kids. It's just an educated guess.
Can we just talk about the elephant in the room for a quick 30 seconds concerning this?
Go for it.
Recently, talent and behind the scenes personnel, as well as a few others, have tested positive for the coronavirus. With WWE.
And other companies.
And other companies.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently there's some kind of a virus going around. In case you didn't know,
we're unaware.
Yeah. And, this is the reason why you have not seen, certain wrestlers since before, WrestleMania.
Why Roman Reigns is at home.
Yep. And I have absolutely nothing against Roman Reigns staying away at all. The man is immunocompromised. He's a leukemia survivor, not once but twice. He's immunocompromised. And all you have to do is look at him funny and he'll catch the virus, and that's dangerous as hell. And like it or not, this is not a hoax. This is not some New World Order attempt to take control of the planet.
Wait, Hulk Hogan's not taking over control? What?
Not that New World Order. The other New World Order.
Nash Hall 6?
No, not that World Order. A different New World Order. Oh, one World Order.
Oh, the one Booker T led. Okay.
No, never mind. Oh. Anyway, you're just like...
Oh.
You know, that's like when I say to Casey, come up with something fun and funny that's not got anything to do with wrestling. And Casey responds, oh, I know. We could talk about movies that wrestlers starred in.
Oh, you said One Nation. One Warrior Nation?
No, stop it. Anyway, so there is the possibility that in real life, now we're not breaking any news, so don't quote us.
He's probably
all
taking...
we're saying is that it's a very strong likelihood.
And it's all precautionary. He may not be failed any tests, it's just maybe precautionary, because if you've noticed, when they brought the new belt in, he was not around for it, even though they made it seem like he was. He wasn't.
Yep.
So.
Well, I hadn't realized he hadn't been on TV for, 3 weeks as of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They made it seem like
you reminded me. But then again, I haven't had a day off in like, almost four, so.
But they make it seem like he's there.
Yeah.
But he's not. You've seen a lot of Ricochet and Cedric Alexander fighting his fights and just pointing it out. Anyway.
So that's the elephant in the room. We've addressed it, and there it is.
Now, let's talk about another elephant in the room. Eye for an eye, Rey Mysterio and Seth Rollins.
Oh, God. You know, if you could have taken out this eye for an eye stipulation and just call it a street fight and have a winner win by knocking the other guy out or whatever, it would have been an absolutely phenomenal match. Shades of young Rey Mysterio in this matchup. He was looking good. He was looking like his old self and not his self, old. If you follow along with that. It was very entertaining. They pulled out, a few different things. Of course, this is an eye for an eye match, and, he brought a pair of pliers to the ring. Seth Rollins did. And I couldn't help but think, wait a minute, are you going to plan on pulling some teeth? Because, the only thing that I could figure out would be the eye tooth.
So what happened was Seth Rollins went backstage and was looking for gimmicks, and well, he found the Isaac Yankem gimmick bag, and that's where he got the pliers.
I just love how you gloss over the eye tooth. You're giving us shit for bad jokes in Skype during the match.
Because they were bad jokes.
They were dad jokes.
They were bad dad jokes.
They were bad dad jokes.
Well, Casey and I happen to be dads, so.
And that's why they're bad dad jokes.
Hey, yeah, but we're licensed. Okay? You have to have the card in your wallet.
So we were going through this.
And we do.
You guys do. We were going through this and we were thinking of other options you could use. I suggested an ice cream scooper or a melon baller.
Yep. Or even just a spoon.
And then I came up with the spork. You suggested a ladle might be used, if used in a very careful fashion. In which case I brought it back around to the pliers that Seth brought out. Maybe he's going to bend the bowl to fit better, of the ladle.
Yeah.
So, but the end of this match just 100% totally turned me off. And, watching it, I'm thinking, well, you know, no wonder people say I'm never watching professional wrestling again after this.
Yeah, definitely one of the, the match itself was great. And then the finish happened and
the fake eyeball finish.
Yeah. Where if you look closely, there were, you could kind of see what looked to be a fake eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
In Ray's hand. But yeah, that whole thing did nothing for me, especially considering like the way that they ended the match was the way that they hurt Ray's eye in the first place.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I would have thought at the very least they would have come up with something else as opposed to just going back to the same well.
Yeah.
I also think Rey Mysterio missed a key opportunity for a deathstroke gear. That would have been sweet, but yeah. Ooh. Oh, it would have worked great. I mean, he was walking around with his one eye covered anyway, so.
Yep.
So a few things. One, we we harken back to Beyond the Mat and that famous scene with Puke. He's gonna puke. Vince McMahon loves his puke. We got his puke on TV tonight.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I get it. That's supposed to be the visceral reaction of a guy looking at the person he was fighting and he popped his eyeball out. Sure. We did not just need Seth Rollins puking.
No, I was trying to forget about that.
It's shit like this that kept me from sitting down to watch wrestling with Owen when Owen was like 8, 9, 10, 11. And thinking back to wishing it was like, Stampede Wrestling was when I was 8, 9, 10, 11. And, a show like that, I would have taken Owen to, except for when Bad News was wrestling against, Stomper.
Oh yeah. That would have been not for the eyes of children.
Oh God. Yeah, those two. Okay. If you want to talk about bringing realism into wrestling. Again, Stampede Wrestling ahead of everybody, ahead of its time. Bad News Allen was banned from the city of Calgary by city council for being such a bad man. He was kicked out of the city. And here's the thing. That wasn't, as we say in the business, that was not a work. That was politicians getting involved saying, this guy's such a dick. No, deport him. Send him back to New York because he was from Harlem.
So number two, it's an eye for an eye match. Wait, where was the blood?
There was no blood.
But you ripped the man's eye out. Where was the blood?
You can see the fake eyeball between Ray's hand and his face. You can watch Seth Rollins throwing up, but you know the policy against showing blood on WWE TV.
There was blood during the first injury with Ray's eye. Where was the blood for the actual eyeball?
Yep.
I mean, so theoretically, you can pop an eye out and not have there be blood as long as everything's still attached.
Shit, it happened to Vader right in the middle of a match.
Yeah.
Which we learned everything is still attached. It's a globe luxation, I think was the medical report update.
Which is bullshit because what that is when the eye, not when the eye absolutely leaves the socket, it's when it pops halfway out and you can actually pop it back in with your thumb as long as you know, cover the eyeball so you don't put your thumb like directly on your eye.
So Charlie told us that, Ray may be able to get his vision back.
Cause that's possible. But yeah, I guess this means Rollins won.
Yeah, Seth Rollins won.
Well, you know, when your opponent gets carted out of the arena with his eye hanging down, halfway down his cheek, yeah.
All right, what's next?
The next match was, Asuka, versus Sasha for the, Raw title. Raw women's title. Yeah. That's my notes.
I mean, if you're referring to all of the stuff that happened at the end, absolutely.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The match itself was great. I mean, anytime you put Asuka in the ring, I'm happy. Anytime you put Sasha in the ring, I'm not disappointed or sad or upset. It's a pay-per-view, so I'm thinking Sasha has no chance of winning. I'm a dick. Anyway, the two ladies put on one hell of a show. I have to admit that I did enjoy, yeah, sure. The end of this match was a clusterfuck, but it was so over. What did you say about it being, good for being overbooked?
As an overbooked finish, it was fantastic.
That's it. For an overbooked finish, it was great.
It's definitely something that I have not seen before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll give them props for that, but at the same time, it also doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, it makes sense.
They pay it off properly on Friday.
Well, this is what Monday. I'm telling you. The entire...
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's tomorrow night. It's Raw. The entire match set up Raw.
Yeah.
And this is not the first time they have done that at a pay-per-view. They have taken a match and used that match to do nothing but set up the storyline, starting the next night.
Because no one's gonna believe Sasha's the Raw Women's Champion, but in her mind, she is. In Bayley's
mind, she is. Yeah. She is. So let's actually explain what happened. I called the green mist because I saw
pass it over. Yeah.
I saw her hand it to Asuka, and it's not like they were hiding it.
No.
Also, they didn't need to. Also, that's fine.
One thing before we get to, there was one scary spot with Sasha where she looked like she almost blew out her knee.
Oh, yes. So that was legit. She legitimately slipped off the rope.
I don't know.
She had to have.
It had to have been.
Cause it didn't play into the match at all, but they did the right thing by just kind of going on and not trying to like try to go back and set it up again, which is something you see often.
Well, before you joined us, Casey, we used to talk about that all the time and how stupid it was. If you miss a spot, if you blow a spot, don't go immediately right back to it and try to do it all over again.
Yep.
It seemed like they went right to the finishing sequence. It's like, all right, did that, let's go home.
Yeah, they skipped it all together, which was nice because, yeah, I mean, you'll see either people will screw up and immediately go and do it again, or they'll do like one thing in between and then they'll go back and set it up. They're very smart to just kind of skip it entirely and figure out how to get to the next sequence.
Especially,
that was very prevalent and predominant with the women's division like 5 years ago.
And even the men's, especially when it's the planned finish, they don't know how to improvise a new finish, so we gotta go back to it.
Yeah. But, with the green mist, Sasha and the ref are yapping each other because the ref caught Sasha trying to use her tag belt. The ref facing Sasha, Sasha's back is to Asuka. Asuka gets up and is just staring down Sasha, waiting for Sasha to turn around. Sasha ducks just as the green mist comes out, and it absolutely blinds the referee. The referee's down. What happens? While the referee is down, Asuka technically gets like an 8 count on Sasha, or Sasha tapped or something like that. I'm not exactly sure because I was paying attention to Bailey.
It was the Asuka lock.
I was paying attention to Bailey. Bailey went running in there, literally ripped the ref's shirt off, put it on. Sasha pins Asuka. Bailey counts 3 and demands that the bell be rung. The timekeeper isn't ringing the bell. So Bailey hops out and rushes him, and he gets all scared and rings the bell. She grabs all the belts and buggers off. And that was the match. That was the end of that match.
Yeah. Which is a great heel tactic.
Mm-hmm. LeMans brought up a point where how they could play into the finish. Sasha could have won by disqualification because Asuka put the mist in the face of the referee.
That is, you know, air quotes, probably how it will go down in the record books.
It's a logical finish.
It is. Sasha wins, as a result of Asuka getting DQ'd for assaulting the ref. Yep. However, still WWE Raw Women's Champion, Asuka.
We'll find out who is the real champion tomorrow night.
So yeah, no, that was, I liked that booking. That was great.
Yep.
Up next we have the semi-main event. Drew McIntyre defending Raw Championship against Dolph Ziggler.
The WWE Championship, not a Raw Championship.
Oh, I'm sure. The WWE Championship.
Yeah.
Same thing.
In a match that is under extreme rules.
Only for Dolph.
Only for Dolph. And then Drew can get counted out. He would lose the title. If he got disqualified, he would lose the title.
If he decided to take his belt and go home, he'd lose the title.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
The only way Drew could win is by wrestling a normal match. A regular match. No gimmicks, no nothing. Which makes me wonder how he got away with slamming Dolph into the announce table.
Well, that's always legal.
I know, but you know what I mean. Because sometimes they call that.
He was trying to throw him over the table.
So
he just didn't.
Okay,
throw
yeah, we'll go for that one. Let's go with that.
I mean, they called it throwing Dolph over the announce table. He didn't really go over the announce table as much as he kind of like clipped it and rolled across the announce table.
As they figure maybe he should have or something. I don't know. Well,
yeah.
That's all fine and dandy. But, Dolph pulling out all of the weapons. We, saw him set up a table. He grabbed kendo stick and there are a shit ton of chairs.
Going back to the announce table spot, they use this phrase in another promotion. Referee's discretion.
Yes.
Remember that term.
Referee's discretion. So it's a great term to use in another promotion that wins the demo on Wednesdays. They like to use referee's discretion in every single match. Anyway, shock of shocks. Drew McIntyre beat Dolph Ziggler.
Man, I can just imagine the promo or the promo I would think of cutting if I was Drew. All of that advantage that you had, you still couldn't beat me.
I threw this out there on Thursday on the rag. The stipulation should have been where Drew McIntyre had to lay on the mat the entire time. I mean, if you're going to pick the stipulation, pick it where the guy is on his back the entire time.
Where he's got no choice but to,
I mean, if you're getting the stipulation, that's the stipulation that works.
Okay, well, you're going to love this. Lance Storm tweeted out in the middle of the match, heel Ziggler should have made the stipulation finger poke of Doom.
Exactly.
I should have taught that kid better. That was his tweet.
I mean, if you're the heel, that's the way you should think.
Yep. But yeah, no, this match, yeah, no, this was absolutely fantastic. I loved it. It was great. You know, it just further pushed how powerful and big and strong McIntyre is supposed to be. And really helped the heel, character of, Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, him taking all of the beating that he took and still managing to pull up that win definitely makes Drew look, tough as all hell.
Well, that Claymore kick surprised the hell out of you.
Yeah. I mean, that was
came out of nowhere.
I try not to use that term because it's been beaten to death by the WWE.
RKO out of nowhere!
But yes, that Claymore did come seemingly out of nowhere. He hit it fast and quick. I thought it was well done.
He hit it and quit it.
Yeah.
There you go. But I really enjoyed, I can't think of a single bad part of this match at all.
Nope. And I mean, you can expect a good match when you have Drew and Dolph in the ring together. Most matches that Dolph is involved in are going to be good. It's just, it's hard to be predictable when Dolph Ziggler's in the ring, unfortunately.
Well, here's the thing with Dolph Ziggler. At one point in time, we were all 100% behind him and he became the world champion and, he was everybody's golden boy and then he got hurt and then they couldn't figure out what the hell to do with him. He'd come out doing this one week, doing that the next week, doing something different the week after. And it just, when you do that with a character, with a wrestler's character, you lose any investment in that character. You know, in addition to that, they really, really did a shit job booking him.
Yeah.
I can't help but think this new thing between him and Drew might just be the rejuvenation Dolph needs.
No.
But you're chuckling because you don't think so.
No. Question, Tim.
What?
When did Dolph Ziggler win the world title?
When did he win the title?
When were you big on Dolph Ziggler? How many years ago?
Oh, dude, I was living in like two places before now. It was that long ago. I know.
It was 2013. It's been 7 years.
Yes. It's been a long time. Seven years of they don't know what to do with Dolph Ziggler.
And Dolph's only singles win this year has been against Tucker. Just throwing out facts.
Just putting that out there, are you?
Yeah, just throwing out some facts.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
There you go.
Let's talk about the main event.
People are getting sick of these WWE mini movies in the pay-per-view, and I don't know why.
I have, well, based on that last one, I have a small idea.
Okay, then tell us what it is, little one.
I don't know. It was very, this one specifically, not like a lot of the other ones that we've seen in the past have been good, with exception of possibly the tag team match that never happened last month. But this one seemed very like disjointed and all over the place. I think I was on Twitter and I can't remember who said it, but it was like basically just Braun Strowman walking around confused for like 20-25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part. I don't know if they're just running out of ideas or couldn't figure out how to do it properly, but it was very like all over the place. I think there were too many cuts.
Okay, you're not much for watching psychological thrillers, are you?
No.
What we saw tonight was very cerebral.
That's fair. And I mean,
it
like,
may
there,
have been
there
over
were
your
parts
head.
Of it.
I don't know.
There were parts of it that I liked. I enjoyed like, you know, the speech stuff was good.
Yeah.
The whole like Alexa Bliss, Sister Abigail thing. I thought that was pretty sweet, but it seemed like there was a lot of just like something happens for 30 seconds to a minute and then all of a sudden it's gone. And like, I understand the whole like thriller aspect of it being like, oh, he's over here, but no, he's over here, but no, he's over here. It just, I don't know if they did it well, in my opinion.
Well, let's face it. Let's admit this much. If you're holding this up to that Boneyard match.
Or the Funhouse.
Or the Funhouse. Even the Boneyard match, I think, topped the Funhouse.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Then you're setting the wrong standard.
Well, and yeah, I think that's obviously the problem, because we're going to compare these to all of the other cinematic, quote-unquote, matches that they've done in the past and ranking them, right? So
yep.
I'm also disappointed there was no alligator.
And yeah,
there you
there
go,
was.
No Gatorade for Bray.
There was talk that there was actually an alligator used, and there was no alligator. They may have cut that scene.
Yeah.
But right from the beginning, I get hooked when Bray is getting the shit kicked out of him by a version of himself.
Braun.
Yeah, that was, like I said, like, there were parts of it that was good. I didn't like how many cuts that they had. That's all.
Well, if you stop and you look at it, you know, the average movie, the average shot is 12 seconds before a cut.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was designed to give you that feeling of being kept off balance. And for me, it achieved that.
A couple of things. One, big props to them trying to pull off a fake Luke Harper in this fight. I think it was supposed to be an Eric Rowan too. But he was a little small to be Eric Rowan, but he was in the jumpsuit. Well,
yeah. So
the hooded guys.
Yeah, it was like early on, there was like two guys fighting him. And one was in a white, the white tank top, which was the Luke Harper. But you can't have a Luke Harper because he's now Brody Lee in the AEW.
Yep.
And then Rowan was fired.
The fake Luke Harper.
So you had the fake Eric Rowan, I guess. It was a nice callback.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fine. I didn't have a problem with this match at all. I found it entertaining. You didn't find it entertaining. It's not like I'm going to be intolerant of your opinion.
Yeah. I don't know. I would have liked something a little bit more conclusive, but you know, but how are they going to explain where Braun is if he didn't come up out of the water?
They'll think of something.
The same way we're going to explain how Rey Mysterio has two eyes again. It's wrestling.
Oh, yes.
It's wrestling. There's a couple of things. I wouldn't say that Alexa Bliss was Sister Abigail.
But no, but I like the, like...
It was a callback to Team Little Big.
Yeah.
When they were a mixed match challenge. That was a great tie-in. Also, the Skarsgård invisible boat reference to Matt Hardy. That was a nice touch. It was a weird finish, but this match wasn't about a fight. And Bray said early on in the match where it's like, he's not here to fight. And
you have to put this in the same vein as the John Cena one.
It's storyline advancement, and that's what we got.
Yep.
This one brought back what we thought was going to happen. By the way, it was a nice touch with the false finish, the little graphic at the bottom. Because I went, wait, that was it? We're done here? I would have been really upset if we were just done there, because that would have made zero sense.
Well, the ending with Bray coming up out of the water, grabbing him in the...
Mandible claw.
Mandible claw, and pulling him into the water. That was fantastic because it brought me right back to the original Friday the 13th ending.
And that's what they were going for.
Oh, yep. For sure.
Where the heroine is on the lake and then out of nowhere, Jason comes up out of the water and drags her down.
And then we had the red lighting.
Now that I wasn't a fan of because, yeah, I get it. They were trying to do the, you know, like blood in the water thing, but it just came off as somebody flicked the red lights on.
Well, they did because the Fiend was back, so we got the Fiend red light.
Yeah. And at the very end when the Fiend pops up, they foreshadowed that when they were talking about this match. Oh, one thing's for sure, you don't want the Fiend to show up.
And now at SummerSlam, we will get Strowman versus the Fiend for the title, and the Fiend can get back what was his.
Yep.
The thing he lost in Saudi.
And then Lindsay will have a chance to squee.
So, that was... The horror show.
That was the horror show that was Extreme Rules.
Can we keep Braun Strowman off TV until SummerSlam and then he comes into SummerSlam like soaking wet?
No, because he's the champion. Otherwise, yes.
But he could play his own mind games from the swamp and he could just come out Swamp Thing style. It'll be great.
If he wasn't holding that damn title, I'd agree with you. The problem is he's holding the damn title. So no.
I still want Swamp Thing Braun Strowman.
Well, maybe they'll think about a way of making it happen.
Yeah, I doubt it, but.
There you go.
A man can dream.
Yeah, I suppose you can. Dreamer, silly little dreamer. Can you put your hands in your head? No. You probably don't get that.
I wasn't listening. I got distracted by this image.
By Rock sent us something in Skype and my computer had decided to freeze up a little bit.
So Rankin Braun.
And things don't working.
So one was an action figure they put out in 2018. The second thing I just sent is Frankenstrowman, available now in WWE 2K20. In the Bump in
Frankenstrowman.
In the WWE 2K20 originals, Bump in the Night. They had a whole swamp storyline.
Goofy man. Just goofy dude.
Anyway, that's the show.
That is the show, and if I could get my computer to unfreeze, we'd be able to have me read the pick'em results.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
You got it?
Got it.
All right. What do you got?
All right. So tell me about this Wheel of Fun, Rock.
That's the magical Wheel of Fun. We spin the wheel and make some picks.
Well, it sucks because it went 2-3 and it came in last at 16th place.
Well, okay. It had an off night.
There
at least
you go.
We all beat the wheel.
Yeah, everybody beat the wheel. Chris came in at the batting 500, 3-3, 15th place, tying 13th, the 8-ball and KC. You went 4-1, but, you missed the match.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's fair. I was driving.
There you go. Tied. Everybody else except for two are tied for third place. And I'm just going to rattle them off here. Jobber, Linz, Michael, Omega, Rob, Rock, Sheila, Subway, yours truly, and Tommy C all went 4-2. So we all tied for third place. So that really must make you feel shitty, Casey, because all those people are in third place and you come in 13th.
Well, I mean, that's only because they picked one more match than I did.
Uh-huh. What match was it that they picked that you didn't?
The kickoff show.
Which one would you have picked?
Probably Kevin Owens.
You liar. You would have picked the other guy.
Why would I ever pick Murphy?
I don't know.
I've literally been told that I look like Kevin Owens.
Who told you you look like Kevin Owens? Just because you grew a beard? No. Listen, I will give you this.
That's the only reason why people say I look like Kevin Owens is because I grew a beard.
Casey, I'll give you this. Your beard is way better than his. At least you can grow a full one. And it doesn't look like 2 feet, it doesn't look like 3 inches of baby, peach fuzz.
Well, it's cause I keep it trimmed and stuff.
And stuff. I don't elaborate.
Also, couple corrections. One, it wasn't the kickoff. It was the tag team title match.
The pre-show show. Match.
On what Casey thought was the pre-show. It was the SmackDown tag title match. It was New Day versus Cesaro and Shinsuke.
Oh no, I knew I got that wrong.
So then you would have been below. You would have been.
But if I had picked Kevin Owens, wouldn't I have been 5-1?
But no one picked that one.
Oh, okay. Then which one am I missing if other people were 4-2?
The tag title match, because that one you didn't pick.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah. I was late to the party.
Yeah. By the way, congrats to Amy and some intern who went 5-1.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay, Amy.
And some intern.
So, yeah, that's what that is. And then, hey, everybody, that's the webcast for tonight.
It is the show.
It is. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, the Raw Post Show.
11 p.m. Eastern, we'll probably have some answers to some questions that were given to us tonight. Tune in to Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, Fortnite with friends.
Thursdays and Saturdays we do Fortnite with friends. Probably something during the week too, because they're bringing in cars and we're probably going to stream that too. Twitch.tv/WTRLive. Just turn on the notification.
There you go. Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, it'll be another edition of the award-winning Rack Radio Show with the award-winning host, Lindsay Ward, and you will get her take on tonight's horror show that was Extreme Rules.
We're going to break down all the things that happened in the swamp and more on the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern.
you know, of course, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it, man. It's another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Greater Than Great Debate, CV Radio.
We did young kid shows last night.
Ooh, who won?
I forget. Brett, who won last night? I forget. It was very late. Let's see. He'll tell me in a second. But yeah, because Rob and Jenna are due any week now, so we decided to, hey, young kid shows. Because why not? Mr. Rogers won last night.
Nice.
Well, you know what? If it wasn't Mr. Rogers winning, the only other one I could think of that should have won would have been Sesame Street. Where did that come in?
That made it to the top 8, I think.
Well, what was the second place?
Looney Tunes.
Oh, my Ooh. God. You guys are so weird.
Anyway, well, something more, anyway. Something exciting this Saturday night, midnight at SuperLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Before Tim starts to talk and tell you what we're doing next week, don't say a word what we're doing next week, because it's all a surprise what we're doing next week, but we will be live next week at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yes, no, that's a guarantee, and thanks, Rock, for interrupting me and making sure that I don't tell them what we're doing next week, so they don't know why they should tune in. But I'll tell you guys, you need to tune in, because it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun next week, everyone. It's going to be fun. You heard
It'll
it here
be
first.
An entertaining show, because we do it, what, maybe 3 times a year?
We'll have
that
to see.
That was a hint, by the way.
Good. I'm glad that was a hint. But tune in to Wrestle Talk Radio next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at WTR Sunday on the Facebooks and the Twitters. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim.
You can find me on the interwebs, Twitter. I am in that toxic environment. You can follow me on at Flames Forums. That's the safe one. The controversial one is at Voicing Sanity. The third one, where I'm going to be talking about food, because I'm talking about food, that one is at Man Kitchen TV. So follow me on all three, especially if you like to eat. Omega owns the internet. He's not here, but what's he known as all over the internet?
Do we really want to tell people what he's known as on the internet? You can follow him on Twitter and on all the social media platforms at TJ Omega, except for the Facebook. That's TJ Reviews. I think he's the Plastic Addict on the Instagrams. He never tells you that one, but that's him if you would like to follow him on the Instagram. He puts up toy photos. And
there
for stuff that's not safe for the YouTubes, TJOmega.net.
There you go. And, of course, Casey needs followers. Follow him.
I mean, I guess I need followers. If you like following someone who tweets maybe about once a month, you can find me on Twitter at Kyle Driver.
That's Pile Driver with a K.
Indeed.
There you go. That's it, everybody.
Hold
Have yourselves
on,
a great week.
On,
we
hold,
will
hold,
see you.
Hold on.
What?
Hold on. Hold on.
What?
Hold on. Hold on. Right. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. One, use credit card RocketSocket to $4.99. Hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner. Number two, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free and support the channel just by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. Also, turn on notifications so you know when we go live with all the programming that you'll hear all week long at WildTalkRadio.com.
Now, if you don't live on the East Coast, North America, and you want to know what the hell he said, download the software program that allows you to slow down the audio.
Indeed. Say goodnight, Indeed. Tim.
Indeed.
Say goodnight, Tim.
Good night, Tim.
WildTalkRadio.com.